And then this morning, I'm thinking, you know what, Lord, this sermon's cheesy. You know what cheesy is, don't you? Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a bit like commercial, sort of cheesy. And I pull right up behind this car. And in this car are two signs in the back window. And one says, Manchester has hope, which is Hatikva. And the other one says, Heroes. I thought, okay, I'll go with that then. So I took a picture just to prove it. So if it is cheesy, it's God's fault, not mine. Doreen said to me this morning, where are you going to live? So we've got to leave on Monday. So we're not going anyway, but we've got to do. She said, well, what are you going to do? Like, I said, I don't know. Not my problem. God's problem, isn't it? It is. He's promised to look after us, hasn't he? It's his problem. Amen? So anyway, I've given you one of these for a purpose. It would be good if you took some notes in it. It would be good if we learned some new stuff as we go through. But let's not be selfish with our notes. I think, and it's happened to me so many times, I think it'll happen to you, that when you hear something that touches you, that you've not heard before, even though you've heard it before, you've not heard it before, you know, it's a new slant, God will give you a new thing, right? Somehow, I don't know how, but someone will come across your path that day, and they'll have the question, and you'll have the answer, and you'll be able to say, do you know what, I had exactly that same question just a few days ago, let me show you what God told me, and read them your little bit of notes, and say, that's what he said to me, I mean, maybe that's what he's saying to you. I don't know. I'll tell you what. He's probably got a lot of other things he'd like to say to you in here. So why don't you take this and have a look, have a read through it. So you've put it in the hand, and then there's loads of them, so you come back and get another, right? And we'll have to say, why you want another? And you'll have to give us a testimony. Testimonies. That's what it's about. We're doing it at Bryn. We're doing it here. We're going through Mark's Gospel, and that is the goal. There's hundreds of them. We'll give some of them out tomorrow. Hopefully, because there'll be some unsaved people there, and maybe they'll just be blessed. So I'll read the first few verses. This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He's a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. This messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the river Jordan. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater than I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the river Jordan. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. So that's where we'll leave it for now. You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. God would say that to you, by the way. I don't care if you're a girl, it doesn't matter. God will say, you're my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. God takes great joy, took great joy the moment you gave your life to him, and he takes great joy in you being here in his house. So, here's the scenario. The son, Jesus, is standing with the messenger Isaiah had spoken of in the Jordan River up to the water, in the water up to the waists. You can just see them there splashing around, little fishes swimming about and everything. And the Holy Spirit comes down like a dove. not a dove, like a dove. The son's 30 years old right now, and this is the time of the beginning of his ministry. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. In his mother's womb, he had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was always indwelling him. And yet, here, the Spirit descends on him like a dove. Why? To equip him and empower him for the ministry that was about to begin. We know what happens first. Temptations come. Tests come. That's next week. But the Holy Spirit came on him like a dove to empower him for the ministry that had been prepared for him since beginnings of the world, before the foundation of the earth. And then what happened? The Father spoke from heaven at the same precise moment. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In those two verses of Scripture, just getting into Mark's Gospel, but Mark's Gospel hits you so quickly, so fast, so hard, it's so powerful. We're just two verses, we're 8 or 9 verses in, and then we get these two. And two of the most divisive, heretical attacks on the living God and on the body of Christ, which is the true church, are destroyed. They're wiped out at a stroke. First, that the Holy Spirit comes down to baptize and equip and empower the believer, which has been refuted and denied by many, even some ministers of the gospel, many in the church, and yet, from now on, as we study the gospel, we will see Jesus moving forward and doing these mighty works, not in his own power. He says that several times in John's gospel. I don't do it with my own power, but by the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that's number one. Gone. Stop arguing about it. It's finished. It's over. Number two. Secondly. And I'm seeing it more and more. I've been seeing it on Facebook recently, the last few weeks. People arguing about the Trinity, denying the Trinity. There is no Trinity. What? One God in three persons. We see the Trinity all together in these two verses. We saw it in Genesis 1. We see it throughout Scripture. But I don't think we see it any clearer anywhere than in these two verses. Jesus, waist deep in Jordan, the river of death. That's what it means, by the way, Jordan, the river of death. He went down into the waters and died, and he came up again as a picture of what he would do 3.5 years later to culminate his ministry. Waist deep in the water, and the Spirit of God comes down, and God the Father speaks. There's the Trinity right there. Right there. How could you deny it? People do. I don't know how. Paul Simon wrote a song, Simon and Garfunkel, in the Clearing Stanza Boxer. Great song, one of my favourites. But in that song, there's a line, it says, a man hears what he wants to hear and disregards the rest. They're profound words. I'm hoping that we can disregard our previous convictions and the things that other people have planted in our minds and the things that hold us back and limit us and keep us down. I'm hoping that we can hear God afresh and new, and that he will speak to us things that we do not know. Because there are secret things in God that we yet do not know. All of us. And it's wonderful when he opens them up and we say, "Oh, I've not seen that before." And hopefully that will make a difference in the future, because the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. That's what Jesus promised, and I believe him. But I think we owe him that much. To put aside our religion, to put aside our previous convictions, to put aside the things we think we know with our intellect, and allow the Holy Spirit to touch our human spirit and move us into new realms in God. Because we're going to need that in the months that are to come. You know, we owe Jesus because they crucified him for our sins. They vilify him. They ridicule him. Even now they blaspheme him every single day. In the media, all around the world. And he takes that for us. And he's took it for 2,000 years for us. He took the cross, the nails, the thorns, the spitting for us. We owe him something. You know what? The world hates him. The world always hated him. It says in the Bible, it hated him without a cause. Why should we expect to be loved by the world when they hated our master without a cause? You know what? He frightens the life out of the world. I mean, if he was a nobody, if he was nothing, he was just one of them freaky guys that said some stuff now and again, and like, I don't know, I won't name any names, but they're in the tomb still, whoever they are, right? If he was of no account, they wouldn't keep going on about him, would they? They wouldn't keep getting upset with him. The atheists hate him, don't they? They hate him. How can they hate him? He doesn't exist. You think they could ignore him if anyone could? Well, they get their knickers in a twist about the slightest little thing, don't they? When the communists hate him, given up on trying to stop people believing in him now. In China, they've stopped. He's there, right? But you don't support him. You support them, and it's the president. And that's what they've done. They've stopped trying to say there is no Jesus, no God. They can't prove that anymore. People don't believe it. Every time they say it, it just enhances their belief. Just makes them more faithful. It's like when you cut the grass, it keeps growing back thicker. Well, so we'll stop that. We need a new solution. Let's train the next generations that our God is Jing Shong Power, whatever his name is. Let's train the next generations in this country that it doesn't matter about morals and any of that stuff. Let's just teach them with movies. Let's teach them with kids' cartoons. Let's put things in the kids' cartoons that they all think are normal because they've always grown up with them. That's what they're doing. But they hate Jesus. And they want to get rid of Jesus. The Islamists want to get rid of Jesus. They know he exists. Peace be upon him. They know he's coming back. But you know when he comes back, he's going to be a Muslim. Said it was a Muslim first time. Said Moses was a Muslim, one of them a few weeks ago. Moses. He convicts them of their sin. That's the problem. That's why they hate him. That's why they hate him. That's why these people all over the world who want to do whatever they want, there is no, you call evil good and good evil. They hate him because he convicts them of their sin and they want to stay in their sin. But for those of us who know that we're sinners, who know that we need a Savior, Jesus is our superhero. And we're going to spend a lot of time over the next few months just gazing at our superhero, meditating on him, spending time in his presence, loving him, loving on him, and trying to figure out where did them superpowers come from and how are we supposed to do the work that he gave us to do. Trying to give him time to renew us in the spirit of our minds. Because the world is constantly trying to renew us in the spirit of our minds, but in its form. Time's short. And it's always good to start anything with a goal. You know, what's the end? Why are we doing this? What's the purpose? So, let's go right to the end of Mark's Gospel in chapter 16 and verse 15. And Jesus said to the disciples, and that means you. I know it was them that were there then, but it means you. It means me. It means every disciple down the ages. Jesus said, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They'll cast out demons in my name. They'll speak in new languages. They'll be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. And when Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached. Not the pastors, not the ministers, not the, you know, the evangelists, the disciples. Everyone went everywhere and preached. And the Lord worked with them, through them, confirming what they said with many miraculous signs. See, Jesus is our superhero, but he didn't mean to do it alone. He commissioned every believer to play a part. He wants a legion of superheroes. That was one of my favorite comics when I was a kid. The Legion of Superheroes. That's what we are. Or we should be. When he went to be with the Father, they, Jesus and Father, sent the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead to empower every believer. Everywhere. In these mortal bodies, to preach and to teach the kingdom of God. And he promises to work with them and confirm the truth of the words they speak. Words they speak in his name. Words that line up with his scripture, not things we could just make up. If it's not written in scripture, don't do it. Don't say it. Who do you think? Who do you think would want to take that power and that authority away from the church of Jesus Christ? Can you think of anybody who might want to get rid of that? I don't want that church that powerful. Who do you think would want to render her weak and powerless and unable to fulfill that simple commission? It's not an awesome thing to do. It's not difficult, is it? To say, I used to feel like this, then Jesus came into my life, he forgave my sins, and now I'm saved. I'm completely different. That's not hard. I mean, you might have to elaborate a little bit more than that. But it's not hard to tell the gospel story. Who do you think doesn't want us to feel confident to do that? Who? Because there's an awful lot of Christians telling me. Who are they listening to? Seriously. There are people out there who'll tell you that it's God. God wants you to be humble. Yeah, he does. But humble doesn't mean weak. It doesn't mean downtrodden. It doesn't mean beaten up by the world, smoke blowing in your face every day. It means strong and mighty. The meekest man on the planet was Moses, till Jesus turned up. Put Moses back in a second place. Even this week, I've seen so-called believers saying we're supposed to be a broken, defeated people hanging on grim. Holding the fort, desperately waiting for Jesus to come back and rescue a few holy, holy, holy little huddle that remain. Come on, you hear it all the time. And they call themselves ministers of the gospel. Well, let me tell you something, they're not holy. They're not holy. All that is not of faith is sin. Pity parties are not kingdom gatherings. And kingdom gatherings do not ought to be pity parties. If anyone could have a pity party this morning, it's us. I've just lost my best friend of 35 years. But I'm rejoicing because I know he's with Jesus. No pity parties here. No pity parties in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. They're not holy. There's victory in Jesus, not defeat. Jesus has not planned any defeats for us. Think Eddie was defeated? No, he wasn't. He's gone home in glory as a victory. Those that have got work to do, Avish, I forgot to mention her, and Grace, they've had it as well. Kick it out and carry on and sit in the church the next Monday, the next Sunday, ready to go again. No defeats. No defeats. Setbacks. Drawbacks. That's life. But not defeat. You're only defeated when you stop, when you give up. I'll tell you what, in the last few months, I've probably felt quite a lot of times like giving up. But something comes up inside. Not me. Something else comes up inside. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And says, you will not dare give up. You have a race to run. and you'll finish strong, and you'll finish the race. And I say, yes, sir. And I intend finishing my race like my brother has finished his. What about you? Are you going to finish the race? Come on, amen. Jesus is not coming back for a defeated, broken church. He said, occupy till I come. We're the occupation force. He said, rule and reign on the earth. He said, all authority is given unto me. Therefore, you go in my name. One of my favorite movies. I've got a list of favorite movies. I'd love to sit down and listen to everybody's top 10 movies. It's nice, that one. I like that one. I want to put it in my top 10, but that's Steppy Wood, yeah. And Olivia probably as well. But one of my top 10, I won't say where, about maybe 6, 7, something like that. Enemy at the Gates. Has anyone seen Enemy at the Gates? Oh, just 3 of us. You've missed out. Get home and watch it straight away when we finish. It's about the siege of Stalingrad. The Russians are getting a complete spanking off the Nazis across the river. The Russians are retreating and their own people are shooting them for running backwards. They give them one bullet and they give one guy a rifle with no bullet. And he says, if he gets shot before he drops his, before he fires his rifle, pick his rifle up and use that. And that's it, one bullet between two. That's where it was. It's true. It's a true story. It's not a film that's made up. They are getting battered. And there's days left before Stalingrad falls to Hitler. The whole war probably turned on this one, holding this one city, you know. And Nikita Khrushchev, later to be the premier of Russia, is in charge of the army or something. And he comes down and he's talking, giving them a pep talk, telling them how they're going to fight through and win. And there's no hope in the room. There's no hope anywhere. They know there isn't, except this commissar walks up to Khrushchev and he says, we need a hero. And Khrushchev goes, do you know any heroes? He said, I know one. I know one. And you know what? One is all it took. His name was Vasily Zaitsev. Real life hero. It's a true story. It's a wonderful story. They saved Stalingrad. They probably saved the free world. And then gave it to the Russians. But never mind that. But the kingdom of God, has always had the odd hero. One man, one woman, lots of great women of God, who've moved nations, moved huge groups of people. People like Evan Roberts, John Dowie, William Seymour, Wesley and Whitfield and Spurgeon and Moody, Maria Woodworth Etzer, John G. Lake, Amy Semple McPherson, Catherine Kuhlman. Catherine. Oh, no, never mind. Oral Roberts, Billy Graham. We could go on and on and on and on. Heroes of the faith. We could be heroes. Just for one day. Now, you could be a hero, too. And I don't mean big yourself up. I'm as good as Billy Graham. No, if Billy Graham had done that, he wouldn't have been what Billy Graham was. Billy Graham was a humble man, a man moved of the Holy Spirit. I'm not asking you to do that. Don't be arrogant about it. I know you can't do it in your own ability. I know I can't do it in my own ability. Even Jesus said, I can't do this in my own ability. It's my Father. If Jesus had to say that, what could we say? But nothing shall be impossible with God. So all you have to think is it's possible. It's possible. God could use me. And I'm open and I'm available. And he'll come. Elizabeth couldn't have a baby, could she? Here's the baby standing in the water up to his waist with Jesus. He's impossible. And he's just baptized Jesus. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Virgins can't have babies, can they? The angels of Mary, do not fear. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And she was a hero, let me tell you that, because she risked her life by saying yes to that proposition. What did she say? Be it unto me according to your word. That's Luke 1:38. If we can just say that, just that, be it unto me according to your word, we can be heroes. And the world is looking for heroes. The world is looking. How do I know? I'll tell you why. Because the pop culture dictates what the world's looking at. Politics, economics, even religion is all influence. It's all downstream of the pop culture. And the media is the biggest driver of the popular culture. And the cinema and television are the most influential parts of the media. And people's ideas of what's right and wrong have been changed gradually at first, but now quite rapidly, in subtle ways at first, but now very blatantly, as time has gone by, and what they watch on their TVs, what they watch on the movies, what they watch on social media. But deep down, human needs have not changed. Oh, they can change anything. You don't know if you're a boy or a girl or what now. It can be one of 100 things. No, nobody believes that really. But they've been conditioned to think that. But they don't believe it. And all these other things that people are being conditioned to believe are okay. It's just going along with the flow. You know, the flow finishes up going down the plug hole, don't you? Don't go with the flow. And the human heart says, no, that's not really what it's all about. The brainwashing has not gotten all the way down to the heart yet. Not yet. And it'll keep going a couple of generations, and it probably will. But we've got to stop that now. The world's looking for a hero. Maybe it's you. Superhero movies, they have become one of the most popular, profitable genres worldwide. Over the last 15 years or so, millions of these, they were in comics. Now they've appeared on the silver screen. They've become to life. They've become real. And cinemas are packed. And I'll be one of the people who packs them, by the way. I like them. And when we emptied Eddie's stuff, we had them all. There's nothing wrong with them. We like them, don't we? We want to follow the adventures of our favourite characters on the silver screen, Marvel and DC. They've taken superheroes off the pages of a comic to the forefront of the popular culture. I bet there's kids think Iron Man's real. I bet they think he can really fly. There's no more cowboys and Indians, is there? That's what we got when we was kids. John Wayne. Yeah, that's all gone now. Superheroes now, isn't it? You know, in 2019, American cinemas took $3 billion at the box office on superhero movies alone. Avengers Endgame and Spider-Man Far From Home attracted huge worldwide audiences. Invincible heroes and heroines dominate the silver screen, and they probably will for years to come, maybe till Jesus comes. Global box office revenues for Batman The Dark Knight, $533 million. That's just in America. Let's not leave the ladies out. Wonder Woman, gross 412, but you know what? Don't believe this systemic racism. Rubbish, systemic racism. The Black Panther batters them all. Hey, he's my favourite one as well, actually. 700 million. Yeah. The biggest selling picture of all time. You know what it is? Anyone know? Biggest selling picture at the box office of all time is Avengers Endgame. Endgame. Grossed 858 million in America and 2.79 billion worldwide. Why am I telling you all this? Who's interested in movies? You're supposed to be talking about Jesus. You said we were going to concentrate on Jesus. You said we were going to meditate on him. And you're talking about Batman and Spider-Man. And because there's a real end game. That's what I want you to know. There's a real end game. Real life. And we're probably in it right now. And it isn't fantasy. And it's not a story from a comic. It's not a movie. It's real. It's reality. See, in the movies, we're gripped by the differences, aren't we, between the victory and the defeat. And we see the terrible consequences that the villains inflict upon millions of innocent people. And we're kind of sitting on the edge of our seats, hoping for deliverance, and we think the heroes will turn the table, and they usually do. Well, they always used to. They don't anymore, if you notice that. The goodies don't always win anymore in the movies. I think that's a subtle hint from somebody somewhere as well, don't you? But it has us on the edge of our seats, holding our breath, excited, desperate for the next installment. And if you stay in the cinema and you watch about 15 minutes of words going up, people's names, and you still sit there to the end, they give you another little tidbit, don't they? Another little treat, another bit of bait to get you back next time. You can't go, can you? You can't go out, and you don't know when you're standing up at the side. You've walked to the bottom of the steps and you're still standing there looking at the screen. Words, 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 words. And then suddenly, the baddie comes back. They've got us hooked, haven't they? They've got a ring in our nose and they are dragging us all over the place. Hey. We know it's fantasy, don't we? We all know it's fantasy, but it just seems so real. But I'll tell you something. Heaven and hell ain't fantasy. Heaven and hell are more real than the movies. And people are dying and going to one or the other every minute of every day. Monday this week, I spoke at a funeral, which was my Uncle Ted. Full name Edward, Joseph Edward. I don't know where he is. Me and Steppy took him to Full Gospel Businessman's meeting. We've talked to him many times. I don't know where he is. Tomorrow, I'll be speaking at another funeral, and I absolutely 100% know where my other Edward is. That's life. That's everybody you look at. The only person who really knows is the person themselves. Or the people who are so close as a family, like we were with Eddie, that we're absolutely 100% assured. But every day, people are going one way or the other. And the broad road is by far the greater number of people. And you know what the church doesn't care? It's distracted. Most of it's asleep. Parts of it have been so squeezed into this world's mold. They don't have the mind of Christ anymore. They no longer believe that the word is true in its entirety. They feel the church needs to change to fit in. I saw something on Facebook this week. There's a gay pride thing in Congleton. And ministers of the gospel are saying, why I've changed my mind about same-sex marriage. And we support gay pride Congleton. And they call themselves believers. The church is falling asleep. Or is apostate, actually. Has walked away from Jesus, has denied the truth of the word of God. I feel it needs to fit into society. God's going to save everybody. They say that his unconditional love will mean everybody gets into heaven. That is a lie from the pit of hell. God's love is not unconditional. God so loved the world, but the people who get saved are the people who obey, who repent. Don't say God's love's unconditional. Nobody's love's unconditional. I love my wife. And I could say my love for my wife is unconditional. But if I caught her with another guy, my unconditional love would start, you know what I mean? It's not unconditional, is it? It's conditional on us being together in the same relationship. And our relationship with God is like that. It isn't unconditional. The church should be telling the old story. Pretty regular. Every day, maybe. It's not changed the story, has it? Not at all. Sin's not an old-fashioned concept that's been replaced by new modern stuff. Sin's always been sin. It's sin now. And the church needs to stand up and say so. Is it cruel? That's cruel. That's what they say. It's cruel. It's unkind. It's not loving. It's not showing the love of God. No. What's showing the love of God then? Letting them just go into hell? Allowing someone to die without Christ? That's unkind. I think that's the worst thing. If you could have told them and you didn't, maybe an old story, but it's good news. And if a person's never heard it before, it's brand new news. And if they've never heard it so they could understand it before, and now they're hearing it in a loving, caring, but clear, understandable way, it's a revelation, and it's the only revelation that can change their eternity. The movies might be a nice experience. I enjoy them, I've told you that, I do. But it's over the next day, isn't it? You might talk about it a little bit to somebody the next day. Oh, saw Iron Man last night. He's good. Yeah. And then it's over. It's a buzz. It'd be the same if it's drinking or drugs or any other thing, sex, any of these things that you shouldn't be doing. You should be doing sex with your husband or your wife. But, I mean, if you're doing it somewhere else, it's sin. It's sin, right? And you say, well, it was pleasurable. Yes, because the pleasures of sin are for a time. But after that, judgment. Judgment. You're not going to heaven if you're living like that. God is good, but God is holy. God is holy. But does anyone not care enough to tell the world? Because that's half of the battle. Some people don't know how, and we're going to learn how. That's why we've got this. That's why we're doing this, right? We're going to learn how, for those that don't know how, to break the silence and start a conversation going. But for those that don't care, we can't help them. There's nothing we can do about them. They don't care. My mum used to say, don't care was made to care. In fact, I think she said it to the kids too. Don't care was made to care. Well, praise God. Praise God. There's a scripture that says, to the hungry soul, every bit of thing tastes sweet. It's clear, very clear, I think, that many people are looking for a hero. It might not be a bitter thing. These things are not bitter, are they? They're all right. They're enjoyable at times. They're not a bitter thing. But nevertheless, if they replace the truth, if they distract us from what the real hero is, who the real hero is, that song, Noel Richards wrote the original. I know Noel Richards. He used to come to Salford when we were at Mount Chapel. The world is looking for a hero. We know the greatest of them all. We're going to learn how to tell the world. So, Lord, you're our hero. And we are so grateful. Like Steppy said before, it's been tough this week. But we're all standing because you're standing with us. And we'll keep going. And we'll press on. And we'll finish strong. And we'll run our race. And we'll do our best. And we might only be little heroes, and just one or two people. But you know what, Lord? Steppy made a phone call one time to Eddie. She said, can my husband come and talk to you about pensions? He said, no. She said, can I ring you again in 6 months? He said, okay, just to get her off the phone. 6 months later, on the button, she rang him again. Oh, you're consistent. Come on then, let him come. Just hold it. Just let him come. I come. We talked. I invited him to Full Gospel. He didn't get saved, but he came back the following month. Didn't get saved, but he came back the following month. Fourth month, took him to a church. I think it was Easter or something like that. It was a special day at a church, Scholes Crossing in Wigan. Gave his life to Jesus. That man has touched hundreds and hundreds of people in Jerusalem and in Africa, all over the world. That one person. He's a bigger hero than I'll ever be, but Steppy made the phone call and was persistent, and I made the approach and was persistent, and God did the rest, and he can do that with you. So, Lord, we were asking, I'm sorry to break into my prayer, Lord, but that was the important point that was left. Thank you for Eddie. Thank you for all the people he's touched. Thank you for the ripples that are spreading out even now, from those people to other people to other people. Lord, one man can change the world if you're with him. Nothing shall be impossible with you, and you are our superhero. You're the champion of the world. Amen.